Okay. Welcome to Caroline's Cause Corner, highlighting a local social change maker, activist, or nonprofit leader.
Yeah, community radio, brilliant. Genius. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Excellent. Know, I was coughing a little last week.
You were coughing, yeah. What's going on with you?
Throat's hurting a little bit.
Don't be bringing your diseases in here.
Yeah, it's called allergies. Everything's like the flowers are bursting in Laguna. It's beautiful.
Is that what it is? All right. All right, it's not a virus because this room is a petri dish.
Oh, thanks.
It's horrific.
No. I can't afford any of that stuff.
Yeah.
No, this is all just, you know, environmental like stuff.
Yep.
I have actually a friend of yours in studio today. Kinda Hebrawi?
Hebrawi. Kinda Hebrawi is here.
Hebrawi.
Hello, Kinda Hebrawi.
Beautiful.
I'm not supposed to be in on this interview.
You're going to be in here.
Hi, Caroline.
Good morning.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm very, very excited to talk to you about your program.
Yeah, likewise.
So you have started a project called Sahtain.
Sahtain.
Say it again.
Sahtain.
Sahtain with Love Initiative.
You're giving Americans a chance to learn how to do that.
Sahtain.
Yeah, to learn a little bit of Arabic. It's a one word, you know.
And it's not
what does it mean?
It's not Sahtain. It's
Like a soft, like H.
You know what?
It's a soft H.
Took German, and so I have the tendency to, you know. So I know German, but Sahtain with Love.
There you go. Yeah.
Initiative. Anything with love. I'm down
right,
with.
Right, exactly.
And what does Sahtain mean?
It means like to your health, like with blessings.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it's just something that's used after a meal, like when we're all gathered at dinner or something or lunch or whatever, and you say, oh, this was such a great meal, like I loved it. And then, you know, your host will respond with Sahtain. So it's like to your blessing, like with health.
Do you toast to that too?
You can toast with it.
Yeah, Armenian we say Gnatset.
Yeah, it's just a really like really good all around feel good word, and so I just it kind of was appropriate, I think, for the initiative to use it.
Well, I love it. Now let's tell the listeners what the initiative
is.
So
it's really connecting the community with Syrian refugees over a meal, over dinner. And for me personally, I'm Syrian, so I'm from Aleppo. I've been working with refugees on the border for the last few years. So realizing that we had people in our own backyard really caught me off guard when I found out in December. We have about 16 families in Westminster. And so I went over to their home and had coffee with them and started meeting them. And it was such a great experience that I wanted to expand it to our community, our local community here. So you go over to their home, potluck style, sort of like welcoming the new neighbor into the neighborhood. And we keep the dinners small and intimate so that dialogue can happen. You can get to know them, understand who they are. And then maybe, you know, help with, you know, any kind of resources they might need or support. It's been working out well. We have two dinners a month, and we're booked up until April. And Jason and his lovely wife are planning on coming, I hope, in April.
Don't hope. We're definitely down for this. In fact, not only are we coming, but I've been mentioning this to all my friends, and it's just going to be a big deal. So I just think that people in Laguna can, you know, they can do this. We can afford to, you know, provide a meal. And it's a way to just know who your neighbours are. And these people come from Syria. They've no idea about American culture other than what they've seen on TV, you know, from the movies. And I just think the only way really for them to really feel at home here is for their neighbours, us, to just let them know that we care.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, and they go through a two-year, I want to reiterate, they go through a two-year vetting process. So
Explain the whole process.
You know, and a lot of them are actually not coming from Syria. They've already left Syria about 3 or 4 years ago. They are coming from Egypt. They're coming from Jordan. And Lebanon. And so a lot of them have gone through this already two-year vetting process through the UN, where they're getting background checks, interviews.
This is while they're in the country of origin,
while they're in Egypt,
or Armenia or wherever, like my cousins.
So it's Egypt or Jordan, whatever. Yeah. And then they come out and then get placed in the U.S. Right. So they've gone through a lot already, you know, and so it's just like, it's a very simple kind of way to connect with people. And, you know, for me, as culturally, as with everyone too, I'm sure, like the best way is like over like a meal you share together. I mean, that's just like a great icebreaker.
It's perfect.
So, you know, for me, it was like a lot of people are hosting dinners. It's not like a brand new thing. It's not like I invented something brand new, but the concept of sort of going to their home is what's a little bit different about what we do. And it does take a little bit more effort. I mean, you know, for you to actually take over a meal and to coordinate it with us. And so I think it takes a certain kind of person. It might not be for everyone, but there is always something you can do. Like, so if you can't make a dinner, you can either help them with conversational English, you can help with a monthly rent program. So we're also connected to a number of different organizations within the community in Orange County that do work with refugees. So we're not a nonprofit. We're literally a volunteer-led initiative. Mm-hmm. And then we're just connecting, you know, sort of the resources and the people when needed.
So the intention is for us to have dinner with the family, and then afterwards be a resource for them. If they, you know, as much as they want, if they want to call and say, how do you register a car? There's somebody to call. Because I know as an immigrant to this country, you come to this country and everything's official. And you don't want to have to phone somebody up and leave a message on a voicemail for some guy you don't know to call you back.
At the most
basic level, you know, I was over at a woman's home and on the phone with Edison, like her electric bill was like astronomically high. Yeah. And she just couldn't communicate or understand why. I mean, I was on, and you know, even so for us on the Edison bill, like phone, you're on for 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's even
it's,
for us. It's, so yeah. Imagine for her.
So I have a question about that, about the language. Do most of the refugees have, is there a consistency in terms of they're educated or and know English? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, what's the type of refugee that's coming here to Orange County?
So it's all kinds. It's across the board, across the socioeconomic board. So, you know, some of them have had psychology degrees. Mm-hmm. Some of them are engineers. Some of them, you know, are factory workers. Some of them, you know, are teachers. So it's really like a huge range. And they all come from different cities and different villages. So there's not, I can't really like pinpoint one way, like one, you know, area or another. But they do not, most of them do not speak English. They are going to ESL classes and lessons. And
are they speaking Arabic?
They
mostly?
Do speak Arabic mostly, mm-hmm. Yes. But they are dying to learn more English. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the constant like request I get when I say, what do you need? They would love for someone to just come over once a week for an hour and just practice conversational English with them. Yeah. Because you just can't do anything here without English, right? So for them, like learning ESL like is just not enough. Like they're just not getting enough and it's not fast
That's
enough.
English as a second language,
of
right?
course.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make
no,
sure that
definitely.
The
so it's a little frustrating
that.
For them because they really are very ambitious and they really are productive people and they're really just trying to make a life for themselves and their family and super welcoming. So I think, again, like anyone, everyone's got something they can add or give in any such way. Like each of us has our own unique skills or whatever. So whatever you can bring to the table, we're basically happy to provide that, you know, resource.
Yeah, so I want the listeners to understand, you know, when you're a refugee, you're thrown out of your country because of it's war, right? Your whole community is bombed and blown up. Your life is torn to shreds. So it's really hard to get here. I mean, the path to getting to the United States is not, you know, like, oh, let's just like fly, you know, book a flight and get out of here. It's crazy. So then you finally get a job. It's amazing when you talk to your neighbors who are your estheticians or the people that are working on your car. So what did you do in your country? Oh, I was a medical doctor. I was a surgeon. I was a psychologist. I mean, it's really that connecting that dot, like, oh my God, these people had to completely start all over again. Leaders in their communities that literally had to suck it up, get out, and start over. I have so much compassion and you know, just respect and awe for people that have had to go through this in this day and age. You know, my family escaped Armenian genocide, your backgrounds, and we all, you know, Jason's.
I escaped the cold in Britain.
Yeah.
Escaped the rain.
That's,
you know,
right. That's
pretty serious.
That's,
it was rough, yeah.
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying, you know?
I know.
So,
totally.
So we all, I think that, I mean, I love the fact that you have this, like, homegrown grassroots, I'm going to do something for my community and make a difference. So how do people get involved? Are there any kind of, Why don't you just tell the listeners how they could get involved? I will just plug in the
website. So you can actually email us at Sahtein, and I'll spell that out because I know it's a little rough. It's Sahtein withlove.com. That's the website. You can also email us at Sahteinwithlove@gmail.com. But I want to also say that they're so grateful to be here, and they don't take that for granted one bit. In fact, one of my favorite quotes from a family was, I learned what the word humanity means from Americans and from coming to America, because they have been so gracious and generous. And so there's something to be said about also feeling like you're welcoming people to your home. Like, there's something normalizing about that for them, which is really special too. And to be able to serve people and host. I mean, this is like what Arabs do, actually.
Well,
we love
exactly.
to have people yeah. over, and, you know, we're very hospitable. And so they'd love to cook a meal. Of course, I tell them, like, don't worry about anything. We'll bring it all. You can't tell a Middle Eastern family
not
to cook.
No. Not at
impossible.
All. No.
So yeah, we keep it, like I said, we keep it small purposefully. So we recommend 2 to 4 people or 2 couples. And just, you know, if you want to also then after the dinner invite them back to your home and host them then that's great. I mean, we kind of set up the introductory yeah. dinner meeting. And then whatever happens organically from there happens. And I think that's kind of the beauty of creating sort of a community outreach space or supportive group. Like, it's all of us, like, coming in together and bringing each of our, you know, skills and talents, whatever that may be.
Well, Ava and I are very excited to do this. And
so
the word
excited.
You use, normalize, is that's really
exactly
a
right.
key thing for the, you know, they've been through horrific, sometimes
yeah.
traumatic events. They're in this country, and it should be stated. I always keep mentioning this to people who don't know. When you come here as a refugee, it's not all given to you on a plate. After a certain number of months, you're expected to pay back the flight. You're expected to get a job and be a functioning member of society. This is not something that we're just, you know, because it's often said, isn't it, these days, by people who don't understand that these people come here and they take our jobs
right.
or they get it all for free. No, not these guys. Everything has to be paid for, and they're expected to be, you know, functioning members of society. And I suppose that's right. I mean, that's a good thing. But on the other hand, you know, we could all use a hand up, as opposed to a handout, and just have a friend, somebody you can complain to that this is a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. I mean, things are a pain in the butt. You know, you can't do that at the DMV. You can't say that to the woman across the
counter.
This is a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But you can say it to
you'll
Jason.
You'll get the evil eye, and then they'll say, sit over there. I'll
right,
see you
exactly.
in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Tell the listeners again how they can get in touch with you.
Website is Sahtein. That's Sahtein with love.com. And then our email is Sahteinwithlove@gmail.com. And you can ask us any question. We always, before any dinner, I call up the guests coming, and I sort of go over just any kind of cultural expectations, or, you know, make sure they're comfortable too. So we really take care of everyone, make sure everything's comfortable. And we always have a translator there too, volunteer translators. Most of them are my friends, or my myself included, and so nobody's like feeling uncomfortable, and yeah, it's just a great overall experience for everyone involved. And I really hope we can get as much more of the community to just connect with people, to make this a personal cause, you know, to understand really and truly someone's story by just going over to their home and saying hello.
Yep. I've told a lot of people about this. I'm telling you, nobody has said no. Everybody said,
awesome.
Wow, we want to do that.
So cool.
Awesome. Talk about making it a giving day. So I just want to wrap up with anybody listening outside of Orange County area. If you are interested in this program, I suggest that you get in touch and find out how you can do this within your community, because there are refugees, no doubt, in your community, because they're all over. And if they're not Syrian is probably, you would probably have a very nice model for anybody that has refugees in their community.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And if you can't remember or spell Sakhdin, just write to me, jason@kx935.com. I will pass your message on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's just really great to meet you. Thank you very, very much for doing what you're doing. And you're making people that would not normally have that, you know, connection with their new country a little easier to navigate, and you know it is with love. So on that note, if you have any other wonderful people, nonprofits, activists that I can interview, let me know on my Facebook page, and I will consider it. And until next time, this is Caroline for Caroline's Cause Corner. Make it a giving day.
Thanks, Caroline.
Hey, this is Alice Cooper for Caroline's Cause Corner. Support your local charities and get involved. Until next time, make it a giving day.